Let us therefore read from 1 Samuel and chapter 7. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpeh, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpeh and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpeh. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpeh, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went up out of Mizpeh and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpeh and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coasts thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Amen, and may God add his blessing and grant to us understanding from that reading of his own holy and inspired word. We continue our worship, turning now to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, and we're going to sing from verse 8 to verse 12. Five stanzas. Let earth and all that live therein with reverence fear the Lord. Let all the world's inhabitants dread him with one accord. For he did speak the word, and done it was without delay. Established it, firmly stood whatever he did say. God doth the counsel bring to naught which heathen folk do take. And what the people do devise of none effect doth make. Oh, but the counsel of the Lord doth stand forever sure. And of his heart the purposes from age to age endure. That nation blessed is, whose God Jehovah is, and those a blessed people are, whom for his heritage he chose. Psalm 33 at 8 through 12, let earth and all that live therein with reverence fear the Lord. For our meditation this morning, I'd like to go to the book of Psalms and to Psalm 124. Psalm 124, and we may read it. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Today, through the length and breadth of our land, in many places overseas, society engages in remembrance and reflection. There is a remembrance of past conflicts in so many different places, where many gave their life that we might enjoy the freedom that we now have. That remembrance is, for some, a very personal thing about a member of the family no longer with them, or perhaps suffering for those who survived and are still with them. There is the awakening of old and painful memories on a day and an experience such as this. And it is good for us to pause and to think. But in all of that activity, sometimes there is something forgotten. Something we don't hear too much about. There is a great dimension neglected, and that dimension is simply just how much we owe to God for his help and for our deliverances. When we hear any mention or reference to God, we so often forget, talking about ourselves as a nation perhaps, we so often forget about that until the next time. We file it away and we get on with other things until next year. God has a place in the life of our nation, but it is so often, and is becoming increasingly so, merely a traditional place. We have the celebration, or at least the remembrance, of Christmas and its spiritual significance of the coming of Christ. We have the remembrance of Easter and the resurrection of Christ. Perhaps another great memorial as a nation and a society is remembrance, and the way in which we think of those who've given life that we might indeed enjoy freedom now. But it's only a place that's given to God. Between these great momentous times, we so often disregard him. We dismiss anything and we discount anything that he's got to say or to claim for us. We shut the door of any input that he might have into our life and living. Until suddenly, unexpected disaster strikes again. And what do we do in moments that, be it on a national level or be it on a very personal and individual level with you and me? When disaster comes, we take God back into our thinking. We summon Him for our help. We make great promises. Lord, if you help in this way, then I'll do that. But oftentimes these very promises are forgotten whenever the deliverance comes. We are in a great danger as a nation of bargaining with God. In this psalm, the psalmist is rehearsing the history of the nation. He's not just simply identifying one specific time when the nation was helped and blessed and saved. What he's talking about here is a pattern of activity involving God. He's speaking about an experience that was often repeated and known by these people. They often, from time to time, and we read there of only one experience in 1 Samuel 7, only one of many examples that could be taken of the way in which they faced a fearful enemy, set out quite deliberately to wipe them out as a nation from the face of the earth. And the way in which the Lord intervened to deliver them and to save them. And they raised their Ebenezer, their stone of remembrance. And here the psalmist doing something very similar for his people then and for us today. That we with them should remember what the Lord has done for us and given to us. And he's making a mold. He's making a mold for our thinking. A mold that we should follow as a nation today. But it's not just limited to national things. That same mold and that same remembrance and reflection, that same deliverance that has been mentioned on a large national scale, is the same light that comes right down to you and me on a very personal, individual scale. When we, on our own, with our own mind and thinking and memory just now, right now, we can look back and we can think of the ways in which the Lord, yes, we were in a tight corner. We were on a sticky wicket. Our backs were to the wall, whatever cliches we might use. And what happened? But the Lord intervened. And the Lord delivered. And what have we done out of that then? The word, the key. This psalm, the key that is repeated is the word simply escape. That's what their experience was time and again. They escaped, they were delivered time and time again. And it wasn't because of their own resources or abilities or schemes. It wasn't because of their military prowess. It wasn't because of their resources in battle and in fighting. They were delivered and they knew escape. Because the Lord was on their side. Let us therefore this morning, appropriate as it is to the day and the occasion, engage in remembrance and reflection, using the mold of Psalm 124. Four simple things I want to take out of this psalm for ourselves and for our people and our nation today. Right at the very beginning, it's set for us. It's set in what would be called in verses 1 and 2 rhetorical questions. But the focus of verses 1 and 2 is simply this: what debt is due? If the Lord had not been on our side, if God had not been for us, what would have happened? The debt that is due. These words in verses 1 and 2, in fact, through the whole of this psalm, these words, they're not balanced and quiet and calm, controlled words that you might have when you read a paper or read a book or something like that. It's not the words that come from a calm, balanced heart. What we've got in verses 1 and 2 in the whole of this psalm is someone who's just escaped from danger. Someone who's just got out of a threatening situation and they've at last reached safety. And they're gasping. And they're gasping out the experience they've been through. And the stress, yes, is on deliverance and escape, as we've said it. But it's on escape and deliverance at the hand of the Lord. The death that is felt and the death that is emphasized by this man escaping, we would put it today in another cliched form, by the skin of his teeth. But he did escape. And he's done it and is achieved by the hand of the Lord. There's no time markers given to us here. There's no, as we've said, there's no specific instance we can take this and translate it back into and say that this describes that. No. What we've got here is a pattern. A testimony that was repeated time and again through the history of God's people, the nation, through all these years in so many different situations. Whenever there were tight and difficulty, this is what they had. They were panting, yes. They were on the edge, yes. They were on the cliff face, yes. But the Lord delivered them. When it happens once, there's that great sense of indebtedness and gratitude develops. But when it's repeated, that sense of gratitude is multiplied. A great debt is due for their very survival and existence at this very moment out of so many difficult situations. There's no time marker. But this psalm is part of a set of psalms which perhaps we may look at as a series through this winter time. There's a set of psalms called the Songs of Ascent. Now, the Songs of Ascent were psalms that were sung when all of the Jewish people were going up to Jerusalem. There were three sets. There were three set festivals, great festivals. Pentecost, Passover, and Tabernacles, just to give them to you. But these were times of great spirituality in the nation, and they all went to Jerusalem. They all went there to celebrate them. But to go to Jerusalem, Jerusalem was 2,500 feet above sea level, so no matter which side you came at the city, you were always going up. And therefore, these people traveled great distances to get to Jerusalem and to encourage them and to prepare them on their heart and their soul, to put them in the spirit for worship as they got to Jerusalem. They would sing these psalms at specific situations along the road. And that's this one here. This psalm, amongst all these others, was used to prepare their heart. And it was doing that by reminding the nation of how many times God helped his people. To make them aware of what they owed to the Lord. Just as them, so we today. We all have busy lives. But here they were going to worship God. And they were preparing themselves to do so in a real and in a meaningful way. There wasn't simply the outward performance of this or that. But their mind was flooded. Piles were put upon their soul of God's blessings to them. Their hearts were touched and made sensitive. And all of it to stimulate them in worship of God and thanks to His name. As a nation, we can remember and we can reflect and have that exact same purpose behind it all, to stimulate and to make our hearts sensitive in thanks, but also to prepare us to worship. The great debt that was due to them as a nation and a people, and to ourselves. But it doesn't just stop in its application at that level as a nation. It's something that we can take right down to our own very personal levels. We all have that pace of life that keeps us going. And we need moments like this, when we're still, when we remember, when we realize just how much we owe to our God. Perhaps many times when we were going through difficulties or dangers, when we weren't aware either of the scale of the danger or the scale of the deliverance. We came through it, and it's only when we come into quiet times of reflection and we look back, only then do we notice just what was given to us and from which source it came. And that multiplies the sense of debt that we owe. So therefore, the first thing that we get out of this psalm is we can talk. Talk in a very private, personal, introspective way. We can talk with our own hearts. We can talk with our own soul. We can raid our own memory bank. And when we do that, we realize just how big a debt we owe to our God. And we can put it in exactly the same way as the psalmist puts it. Without the intervention of God, without the intervention of God, how different life would be now. The debt that was due. But not only do we see here the debt that's due, the second thing I want to take out of this psalm is the destruction that was intended. Let there be no doubt over the intention of the enemies of God's people and God's nation. We see it, the Philistines, the Moabites, the historical enemies of the people then, people today. And as there was that intention of the enemy for total destruction, that sets the scale for the deliverance we'll look at in a moment. This was no small, insignificant event in history. This wasn't something that just happened in a corner and was noticed and involved only a few people in the nation. This was not something that was off to the side. This is something that was happening to the whole nation and the people. This was something that was involving every one of them. If God had not intervened, the whole nation would have been utterly lost. We've used the illustration of somebody panting, getting out of danger. Well, develop that. Somebody who's come through maybe a swamp or a bog. Somebody who's been chased with a wild animal. That kind of situation. Think of them. And they're racing to get into the door of the house. And they get in the door and they slam it closed and they slump behind the door with their back to the door. And there they're able to speak. Well, we made it. We've escaped. Thanks be to God. Because what's on the other side of that door had the intention of total destruction. He uses two illustrations to bring that home to us. Verse 3. Then they had swallowed us up quick when the wrath was kindled against us. They would have swallowed us quick. The image is just simply one bite. One bite, and it's all gone. It's like a monster cornering its prey. All gone that quickly. The nation would have been swallowed alive. That's the scale of the threat and the danger that was against these people. Total destruction of the nation. And just because that is a historical event and a pattern in the past, let's not think that it stays there in the past. I want to bring out an application very particularly for ourselves right now today. Yes, we have, the Christian has a spiritual enemy with that very same intention against us still. The devil seeks that same intention for the work of Christ and his people today still. It is nothing short of total ruination and destruction. That's the battle that we've got in our society today. Light against darkness, good against evil. That's the kind of battle that we have coming right down into our own lives on an individual basis. Whenever there is any interest shown by us or created within us on Christian things, whenever our mind runs down that path or into these interests, what do we find happening? We find that there is an intensification of temptations, distractions. Every kind of threat is mobilized and set in array against us. There is that deliberate focusing of every and any threat against any and every Christian interest. Because the devil wants to totally obliterate, to destroy utterly any kind of Christian interest. So therefore, you and me together, whenever our minds are turned to Christian things, let's be ready for that kind of onslaught. But let us also not be deterred by it. God seeks the good, our good, when he deals with us in that way. And we therefore should persist. Yes, it might need fights and battles on a spiritual conflict. Yes, it might need application and discipline. But let us continue to walk down the road, the path the Lord might be opening up for us. The threat is of a great scale. Destruction was intended for God's people then. The spiritual enemy is with us today and his intention has not changed. But let's seek to fight against and draw upon the resources of the Lord that we might go down the path he has set before us. Destruction intended, nothing short of total. One bite, you're gone. But if the destruction was total, we also have here that this destruction was sudden. Verse 4, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. There's absolutely no warning whatsoever of this impending destruction and threat and danger. Life is so calm. The image that is given to us here is of a dry wadi bed. These kind of images we see in pictures of TV today. A dry river bed that's got no water in it. At least you've got to dig deep into the bed to get any water at all. And sometimes people might think, well, it's sheltered from the hot blast. It's a place of quietness and out of the line of the sun, the wind, others. A place of safety and protection. And people sometimes might think, well, let's go in there to camp. Away in the hills, there's a shower of rain. Big style. And that rain comes down the wadi bed. And suddenly, those who are in it are overwhelmed without any warning. Not only is the destruction intended total, but it also comes without any warning. We may well be surprised, but not the Lord. We can be rattled and we can be shaken. All it takes is just one phone call. Maybe just a letter. Perhaps a short visit or an appointment. But the whole of life that once seemed to be so secure and solid is suddenly cracking and coming apart. If we're on our own, that's what happens. We crack and we come apart. But for the nation and for God's people, He bars the way. He thwarts that intention. He stymies that purpose against His own people. Destruction is intended against them, against us. But He also moves on to speak. He goes on to speak about deliverance that was experienced. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. The Lord who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. If you were to look at the situation the nation was in, the appearance of it would be, it's all over. It's all over. The monster has cornered the prey. The conclusion is obvious. But that conclusion takes no account whatsoever of the interest or the involvement of the Lord God. When God comes into the picture, when God comes into the event, when God is known and felt, then things turn out differently. And the sad thing is that in our society today, God is being deliberately squeezed out of life and living. And people think that their life will be better because of that. Until things come which they cannot cope with. And we need to remind ourselves and keep on applying the lesson that we had just a few weeks back. Mark's Gospel chapter 6 and verse 52. The disciples forgot about the miracle of the loaves and the fish. The people, the disciples, weren't applying their faith. They weren't applying what they learned of God then to where they were now. And that's what we need to be doing as a society. Keep our faith close. Live in the light of God's revelation and commitment to us and what He's done for us. Take God with us always into life and living, whatever it be, a big or a small thing or detail. But whenever we do that, then there is always a real and sometimes a surprising deliverance and difference. These people were about to be devoured, just one bite and it was all over. But that's not what happened. The Lord intervened and the Lord delivered them from a surprising source. A bird caught in a trap. It's up. It's all over. The bird is the next, or at least to be the next meal for those who have set the trap. And the more the bird struggles in the net, the more it gets entangled. Until someone comes along and just grabs the net and rips it apart so that the bird can escape and fly away. The bird wouldn't be able to do that itself. Escape wasn't an option for the bird. Help came from the outside, and it's now free to fly. So the Lord did for his people, for his nation. The Lord intervened in so many different ways, in so many surprising ways, totally unexpected ways, ways that they never even thought of or realized were to be an option. The Lord set his people free. Deliverance they experienced then, deliverance we experience now. As our memory roams back, as we think of very specific situations, be it for a nation or for ourselves, when we think of what we were like, just simply a bird struggling in a net, unable in any way to escape, everything seemed to be stacked against us, in war, in conflict, in our own personal situations, until one thing happened. We could never have thought of it. We could never have seen it. Something of the intervention of the providence of God. Something broke in that broke the resources of the enemy against his people. That's the kind of deliverance that the psalmist is speaking about. That's the kind of deliverance we know, be it on a national scale, but yes, we can take it and apply it right down to our own personal doorstep. Into that hopelessness, into that very situation, a door opens. And escape is made possible from a source we never would have thought of. Deliverance that has been experienced. Destruction that was intended. Death that was due. And one last final thought from this psalm. Trust was deepened. There are two main things that we can see as being the spiritual outcome of this psalm. The question that we said right at the very beginning, the rhetorical question, if the Lord had not been on our side, what then? The challenge is there in asking the question to praise and to worship God. We have it there in verse 6 as the answer to verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, who's not given us as a prey to their teeth. Here is worship and praise being stimulated. But it's got to come from deep within us. Praise and worship is not just simply words on our lips. Like we said, here is somebody and they've slammed the door, they've slumped behind it, and they're speaking of what they've been through. That's not just simply superficial emotion. That's real deliverance they're speaking about. It wells up from deep within them. The great things that God has done for them. Blessed be the Lord. So it is with ourselves as we come to worship God. Remember the songs of ascent, preparing them to go and worship God. We too need to be prepared as we come to worship God ourselves. If we don't have that foundation, if we don't have that substance, then we are condemning ourselves simply to go through a routine, a checklist, and that's all it becomes. But that's not what God requires of us. If we ask ourselves the question, why do we come to church? Why do we live in a Christian way? We've got to have a solid foundation to these questions, to what we do, why we do them. Peter, in writing in this first letter, chapter 3:15, speaks and asks, says this rather, he says, that every man be able to give a reason for the hope that is within him. Let every man be able to answer the question, why? Why do you do it? Because of this. Why do you do that? Because of this. Why do you live the Christian way? Because Christ is my Lord. Yes, blessing the Lord for reason, deep reason, of his escape and deliverance given. Blessed be the Lord, praise that wells up from within because of what God has done. But when you come to the last verse of the psalm, there is another effect of all that we've got and spoken of this morning briefly. Trust is deepened. Our help is in the name of the Lord. The psalmist has been looking back and thinking of the history of his people and the way in which God has helped them so often in the past in so many different situations. But then they're going forward into the future. And how are they going to face the future? They're going to face the future drawing on the experiences of the past. The same Lord God who helped them when they were facing the Philistines and all of them. The same God that took them through all these dangers then is the same God that's with them now and will be with them as they go on into the future. They trust is in the name of the Lord. We've seen so often the names of God are different windows that give us different aspects of the character of God. Different specific names. Elohim, Yahweh. All of them are rich studies for the soul about God's covenant, God's strength, God's ability. But here, the psalmist isn't focusing on any one of these names. He's speaking about the name, all of them together. He's speaking about the richness and the variety of God's character. Whatever they may meet from this day onward, whatever the future might hold for them, for you, for me, whatever they face, the Lord will remain their helper to the nation, to the people, to the individual. Drawing upon what they've had from God's hand in the past. But there's one final thought I want to put in, and it will be the bridge because I want to develop this more tonight. This comfort that we've been talking about, to face the future with all the problems that it holds, this comfort belongs to those who trust in the Lord. It's not a blank check and it's not an open-ended thing. To the nation, there were great blessings and privileges. That was to the nation. But from the nation, there is God looking for trust, faith, and reliance upon him. It's not a one-sided thing. There's God's blessings and there's the people's trust. We therefore pause and we reflect. We think of what might have been, just as the psalmist is doing. And the only explanation of why things didn't go that way, the only explanation why things didn't turn out the way we thought they might, the only explanation is because the Lord is on their side. And the question as we close is simply this one. Are we on his? Let us pray. Our gracious Lord and God, we bless thy name for the way in which thou hast looked over us and kept us. Thou art a covenant-keeping God, and thy loving kindnesses are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness in the evening time. May thy blessing be upon thy word to us to hear today, and throughout our nation and our people also. May we hear the call taking us back to thyself. And may we be a nation and a people that truly can say that Jehovah is our God. In his name we ask it. Amen. We're going to close this morning by singing that very psalm that we've been meditating in, Psalm 124. The second version of that psalm, Psalm 124. Now Israel may say, and that truly, if that the Lord had not our cause maintained, if that the Lord had not our right sustained when cruel men against us furiously rose up in wrath to make of us their prey, then certainly they had devoured us all and swallowed quick for aught that we could deem. Such was their rage as we might well esteem, and as fierce floods before them all things drowned, so had they brought our soul to death quite down. The raging streams with their proud swelling waves had then our soul overwhelmed in the deep. But blessed be God who doth us safely keep, and hath not given us but a living prey unto their teeth and bloody cruelty. Even as a bird out of the fowler's snare escapes away, so is our soul set free, broke are their nets, and thus escape we. Therefore our help is in the Lord's great name, who heaven and earth by his great power did frame. Psalm 124, now Israel may say, and that truly. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.